Thank you, and greetings, my friends. How much longer do you expect to live? Where will you be 1 minute after death? 1 hour? 1 year? Or a million years? Of course, no one can answer that question with exactness, but the Bible says, the days of our years are 70, and even by reason of strength, 80 years. Psalms 90:10. Our discussion today concerns, where will you spend eternity? In America today, the average lifespan is approximately 70, or 70 years. Given that figure as an average, how much longer do you have to live? If you're 20, you have well over 50 years of life ahead. If you're 40, your life is already half gone. If you are 60, you have only 10 more years to live, and so on. Of course, some of you have already lived past this average figure and may live a number of years yet. The fact of the matter is that you have much longer to live than you think, perhaps. When I ask the question, how much longer do you expect to live? I'm sure that your answer was with regard to physical life upon this earth. But the Bible teaches that physical death does not terminate our existence. Physical death is only the death of our mortal bodies. The spirit of man is immortal. The soul lives on after physical death and ultimately will be reunited and resurrected with a new body at the second coming of our Lord. Yes, you will live forever. How much longer will you live? Well, you will be alive 1,000,000 years from now. You know that? You will be alive throughout all eternity. To be sure, your life on this earth will soon be ended at the most. But life is not confined to earth and time. It extends into the spirit world and eternity. 100 years from this moment, you and I will not be living on this earth and doing the things we are doing now. We will be alive, conscious, and aware of what is happening, however. We will all live forever somewhere. But where? God has prepared 2 places for eternal dwelling. One is called heaven and is prepared for the faithful children of God. And the other is called hell and is prepared for those who know not God and refuse to do His will. Every man will spend eternity in one or the other of these places. Man does not cease to exist at death, as I pointed out to you in a previous address. No one will spend eternity in some intermediate place between heaven and hell. Every man will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Where will you spend eternity? Heaven is not an imaginary place or mere figment of man's imagination. It is a real place. It is not a state of mind to which men may attain while here on earth. Heaven is real. The goal of the believer's life and his place of rest and reward at the end of his earthly pilgrimage is heaven. The word heaven is used in at least 3 ways in the Scriptures. First, it may be used to refer to the sky, the place where the birds fly and the clouds move, as you read in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Secondly, it may refer to the area of the sun, the moon, and the stars, the region beyond our own small planet, as found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Thirdly, it may refer to the place where God is, Jehovah. His throne is in heaven, we are told in Psalms 11, verse 4. Jesus taught His disciples to pray, you recall, Our Father who art in heaven, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. It is the dwelling place of God which will ultimately be shared with the redeemed of the ages as their eternal abode. Although we do not know just where heaven is, it is definitely a place rather than a mere state of mind. Jesus promised His disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, John 14, verses 2 following. It will be a radiant and glorious place, for the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine upon it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb, as we read in Revelation 21:23. The beauty and joy of heaven will be complete, for it is said, God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, and more. That's found in Revelation 21:4. Those who dwell in heaven for eternity will be spiritually perfect. In this life on earth, God's people long for holiness, and yet sin is all around us. Christians strive against sin and yet succumb to it at different times, no doubt. The most devout Christians are keenly conscious of their shortcomings. In heaven, where sin is altogether excluded, these saints of God will be perfectly holy. Their love for and devotion to and adoration of God will be totally unmarred in heaven. Beholding the Lamb of God face to face, the redeemed of the ages will worship and serve God forever. Will the saved of heaven know and recognize each other there? Paul declared that Christ shall be fashioned anew, or shall fashion anew, the body of our humiliation, and it may be conformed to the body of his glory. Philippians 3, verse 21. Was Christ's post-resurrection body recognizable? Well, of course it was. And at his appearing, he will be fashioned anew, changed, as you read in the King James Version. Our bodies, it is said, will be like his own. Furthermore, John wrote these words, "We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is." 1 John 3:2. Christ will be visible and recognizable at his appearing, and we shall be like him. We shall be visible and recognizable, no doubt about it. Yes, heaven is a perfect place of majestic glory. To be there will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. It will be the fulfillment of the believer's dreams and expectations. But what about the unbeliever and the sinner? What of the man who never obeys the gospel of Christ? What of the child of God who turns away from his Lord and falls from grace? These people have no hope in heaven, but at the Lord's second coming, he will not only be claiming the redeemed as his own, but he will also be rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. The Apostle Paul declared in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. There will be no murder, rape, theft, malice, hate, envy, and jealousy. There will be no blackouts, looting, burning, and destruction. Such people will not be in heaven. Of course, I'm not the judge, and you aren't either, and I am glad. But I'll tell you one thing, and I say, are you listening? God will take care of that. He has a place for the ungodly and the sinner, and it is called hell. The gates of heaven are closed against all iniquity and unrighteousness. The Bible says, "And there shall in no wise enter into anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life." Revelation 21:27. What of those whose names are not written in the book of the life or the book of the redeemed? There is a Bible answer. "And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20, verse 14. Mankind generally does not want to believe in the reality of hell. Some would believe in heaven, but refuse to believe in hell. Others are more consistent, perhaps, and reject the existence of either. But what men say or not, what they wish or dislike, will not determine the destiny of the souls of men. Men may deny the existence of God, but such a denial does not change the fact that God is. Also, men may dislike the reality of hell and deny its very existence. All those denials do not alter the fact that hell does exist. It is a place of confinement and eternal punishment for the wicked and unbelieving and disobedient. The real existence of hell is clearly taught in the Scriptures. Jesus said, If thy hand causeth thee to stumble, cut it off. It is good for thee to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands and go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. Mark 9:43. Hell was not manufactured in Milton's Paradise Lost. Preachers did not dream it up in an effort to scare people into listening to what they had to say. The Son of God himself told us that hell exists. No man can consistently claim to believe in Christ while rejecting the eternal hell fire. Hell is a place. It was originally prepared for the devil and his angels, as you read in Matthew 25:41. But men who serve Satan in sin during earthly life will have to share his eternal fate in hell. The Bible says, "But for the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Revelation 21:8. Hell is the exact opposite of heaven in its nature. In heaven, there will be the light of the presence of the Lamb, and there shall be no night there, as we read in Revelation 21:25. In hell, on the other hand, there will be outer darkness, without the slightest trace of glory and grace of the Lamb, as you read about in Matthew 25:30. In heaven, there will be no suffering, no sorrow or death. In hell, suffering and sorrow will be experienced constantly, and existence itself will be a living death in torment. In heaven will be righteous, happy, and saved people. In hell will be the unrighteous, unhappy, and the damned of all time. In heaven, there will be no sin. In hell, there will be those who were unrighteous upon this earth, all who were sinners. My friends, are you listening? The horrible fate of one who must spend eternity in hell is described in the book of Revelation in these words. Listen. "And he also shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of that torment goeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day and night." Revelation 14:10-11. Hell will exist for all eternity, and its torment will never end for those consigned there. Of those on his left hand on the judgment day, Jesus will say, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment," as the Lord declared long ago. A million years from now, you will be alive, you know, conscious and aware of what is happening around about you. You will be fully cognizant of your existence in either heaven or hell. You can be sure of that. Now, that must be something to think about. And it should make you aware of the fact that your eternal existence, that you're going to go someplace, ought to make each of us be more concerned about the eternal destiny of our soul. Which do you choose? Do you want to go to heaven or to hell? It is within your power to choose between these two destinies. You have been given the freedom by the authority of Almighty God to choose between eternal life or eternal death. Our Lord said, "Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." Matthew 7:13-14. The Savior clearly implied our power, our freedom of choice, as to where we shall spend eternity, which gate you shall go through. One leads unto life, and the other leads unto death. One goes to heaven, the other goes to hell. No man is forced through either gate, but each one is free to determine his own destiny. The suffering Savior has made heaven possible through the giving of his own life and the giving of his blood for our sins as an atonement for sins. But many will prefer to walk in the wide way of carnal desire and worldly pleasure rather than submit to the narrow way of truth and righteousness through obedience to the will of God. Whom then does Jesus save? That can be no mistake about the answer. Our Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. Jesus saved those who both believe in him and obey the Father's will. And according to the writer of Hebrews, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:9. What is the Father's will? The commandments of the Lord as revealed to us in the New Testament. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Except you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." And he said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:35. And again he said, "Everyone therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10:32. And Jesus taught, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. In one's obedience to these commandments, he is calling on the Lord for salvation. The penitent Saul of Tarsus was commanded, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Acts 22:16. By this process of obedience, one is born anew, born of water and the Spirit, as you read about in John 3:5. He receives the hope of heaven. As a saved person, one then is to worship the Lord and serve the Lord faithfully as a Christian and bring forth fruits unto God. Galatians 5:22-23. Peter gave this inspired exhortation and promise, "Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 1:10-11. Jesus saves those who believe on him and repent of their sins and confess faith in him and are baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Such as obey the Lord are they who will enter into the way of life. They will not stumble, fall from grace, or be lost in hell. They will be granted entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would decide today to choose the path of eternal life and be saved according to the terms of God's will. Beloved friends, ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Surely, you are fully aware of the choice of the destinies before you. You know something of the glories of heaven and the terrors of hell. Do you want to spend eternity in heaven or in hell? The choice is yours. God has provided salvation through Christ and His church, and the gospel tells you of your responsibilities in receiving that salvation. Is not heaven so inviting and hell so frightening that you must obey God rather than be lost?